Episode 492, July 27th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you,
the
punk?
The Robin Joe Show.
I've got Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
please
are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe Chat Room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob.
Rob and Joe Show. Remember that time, Joe, where you jokingly called yourself Uncle Fuck, and then I wanted to call you that and make that your nickname, and you hated it?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yes. Do you like it better than my new nickname for you, Jovid-19?
Nah, I prefer that. I prefer Jovid.
Okay. How you feeling, bud? Let's start. Last week, you weren't feeling well. You were concerned you might have the old COVID-19. How you feeling?
I got to be careful because I know Taylor Hawkins sent you.
Taylor Jenkins is the drummer for
right, not for the Foo Fighters. That's not what I meant. Sorry, Taylor. Taylor Jenkins. He sent an email basically taking me to task for.
Oh wow, not an email on our Facebook. It
right
was just not taking to the task seems strong language, but. I was expressing some current concerns in a friendly and polite way.
Well, I'm definitely not going to get the vaccine. And it's not because I don't believe. Clearly, I know this is real. I don't think that the virus doesn't exist. It's just anything that they rush out in order to protect this world against this virus is just not something I'm comfortable with putting in my body. You know what I mean? Who knows what the hell
so
the
you're
ramifications.
Not anti-vaccination.
No, good God, no. I'm not anti-vax, but I'm anti the one that came out in 4 months or whatever, right? I like for
you're
it to be
that it's a rush job to make that $1 billion.
Well, it is a rush job, you know, but not that it's not warranted, but it definitely is going to be rushed. How could it not be?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
people,
no, it clearly if there was no dire need for it, they would take more time.
Yeah. So, but I am going to go get myself tested tomorrow.
Okay.
Are we taking bets?
Don't bet. I have it. Listen, I listen. the first night that I thought that I had it, I sweat the bed like crazy. I had headaches. I lost my taste completely. I didn't have my taste for about 4 days. I was nauseous for a little while. Every single symptom that you can have, I had a cough. I've had every single thing other than I haven't had a fever, and I haven't had shortness of breath. But I don't know that I haven't had shortness of breath. I mean, I'm very fatigued, so whenever I walk up and down the stairs, I get winded. So, yeah, I guess I do have shortness of breath.
That would count. So,
what about
is,
Katie?
Well, Katie had those things, but she's already over it. Neither
well,
one of
she's
us.
She's younger
know
than you. That helps.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the advantage of having a young wife, Joe.
Yeah. Neither one of us had the fever, but yeah, I'm just having a lot more trouble shaking it. That's all.
What do your in-laws feel about this? Because you're about to go on vacation with them, correct?
Yeah, I haven't had any conversation with them about this.
You mean they don't know about it, or they know but you haven't talked about it?
They I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what conversations Katie's had with them. I haven't told them anything about it.
All right, so you're just going to just not even bring it up in case it.
Well, it depends on how I feel, point, right? And it also depends on what happens after I get tested. By the way, you can go to CVS drive-thru and get tested. Do you know that? How's that even possible?
Apparently it's pretty easy. How soon do you get the results, though?
That's
not
the thing. Do I get it? What if I get it and I'm already down there? But also, I heard after X number of days, you're no longer contagious. Well, I've had it since Friday. Today's Monday, so it's been Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, I've had it over 10 days.
When did you start feeling symptoms?
Friday of last week.
Well, then you've had it for a lot longer than that.
Probably, yeah.
If you were supposed to leave tomorrow, you would not go, correct?
I would have to get tested. Actually, how could I? I mean, you know, I wouldn't have the results back, yeah.
But, I mean, just physically, why would – I mean, you're not going to go and just stay in bed the whole time.
No, but I can sit in a chair or whatever, sure.
Yeah. All right, well, we're hoping you feel better.
Sit in the pool.
Yeah.
It's 100 degrees out, right?
Maybe you're just tired and fatigued because it's 98 degrees every day.
Dude, let me tell you something. This is the I got to be careful because, of course, you know, my dad's in chat and he'll, you know, next thing you know, the text will come pouring in. But this pandemic, it's starting to fuck with me bad. You know, my mental makeup. I don't know if you've experienced this, but just staying inside and not doing anything and watching TV. And, of course, you know, my day job is kicking my ass. I'm not going to get into the details of that, but I mean, I actually feel like, you know, bummed out. I feel blue. Now, I'm also sick, so I can't leave my house. I'm sick. Obviously, work sucks. All the things that give me joy, you know what I mean? Like the murder mystery and the radio and baseball.
Twitter.
And, well, we'll get to that too. And that's probably has a lot to do with the reason that one of the reasons that I quit Twitter is it's fucking with me. No doubt, it really is. This pandemic, and of course, now that I'm sick, you know, it's fucking with my head. Do you ever get depressed, Rob?
I've been dealing with that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's going on with me.
Unlike any other time in my life. And I'm a person that I'm always thinking about something. My brain is always thinking and wondering and something's. Now, a lot of times it's non-important things, like who am I going to draft in my fantasy football league? It's shit like that. It's sports related. It's comedy related. It's an idea for a murder mystery. So they're either enjoyable, creative things or just fun, relatively meaningless sports things. But since all of that has gone by the wayside for the most part, you know, it's just me, you know, thinking about just, you know, the drama that's going on in the world and just getting angry and without an outlet to get it out of my system. And yeah, I've had a lot of bad days, but you know, this past week, you know, if we go back to Sunday, as you know, I had that show we talked about on last week's show, and then Thursday I had a show with Dr. Gill that we talked about that I booked on the air at this Java Nation, this coffee shop that's a bar, also a restaurant, and they have a little outdoor covered area, and that show was just so much fun, even though it was pouring, raining, and we had to wait for that. And but nobody gave a shit. Everyone was just happy to be out. And, you know, I left that show just feeling, you know, a little much better about the world again, because you could just see people just were out and just enjoying life. And, you know, the mic kept going in and out. Nobody cared. Nobody cared that it was.
They were just thrilled to be out.
It was raining and the mic was bad. They were just happy that they were out doing something. And then I got a last minute thing at McGoobie's Joke House with our friend Tony Woods Friday and Saturday. And those were. Those shows were the most I felt like my comedy self pre-COVID, pre-pandemic, you know, comedy level of sharpness in terms of my act, because I've done more shows. And it felt more like the real representation of me as a comic. So that left me feeling a lot better than I have in these past few months.
Yeah, I mean, well, look. Everything.
Plus baseball being back. Of course, now the Marlins, all these players are – got COVID, but just watching the Nats Yankees game yesterday and them blowing that game. I even texted our friend Danny Ruggie, you know, I know sports are back because I just had a brutal loss. And that's, you can't feel that way without sports being back.
Yeah. And well, I haven't had the experience that you've, like, I haven't had that. Right. I mean,
right.
I, man,
it's important.
Well, no, I like, for example, I filled in, you know, for, Scott, on the morning show Friday? It was Friday. And I was feeling like shit. So, Of course, then I wasn't at my best. So now I'm on there. I don't feel like I'm particularly good at where I'm normally a little bit sharper. So I got that. You know, again, the world. And then, of course, let me talk about Twitter real quick. So Twitter's been fucking with me. That's for sure. And I have no idea if Twitter is a representation of what's really going on out there. But these are the people that I'm interacting with, and forget the COVID thing or whatever. I mean, right now what I'm going to do is follow the rules and then see when it ends. What else can I do? Right. But there's this thing that I used to talk about it on this show. I've talked about it many, many times about where you have an opinion about something. You voice that opinion. The other person has a different opinion. You start going back and forth. The one person decides that you are a bigot, and then you can't talk anymore. You follow what I'm saying? Because now your opinion comes from the perspective of a bigot. Why would it be considered? So this is weird how it got to be a bigot in this conversation. But the one that ended it for me, that ended Twitter for me, I was talking about a video where someone called someone an idiot if you don't agree with the science of the airflow, right? The airflow with a mask on and with it off, okay? And mm-hmm. the person that posted the video said, "Hey, idiots," and then posted the video. And in the video, they said, "Stop making stuff up," okay? So all I said about the video was, this message will not be received. You understand? If you're on the other side and somebody calls you an idiot, you immediately tune them out. So is your goal to enlighten people as to this science, or is your goal to humiliate people? And if it's to humiliate people, well, I'd ask you to try again. And if it's to try to really have this message, delivered, well, then you would need to change your tone. That's all that I said, right? I mean, is that far-fetched? Even if you were to disagree, I don't know how someone could disagree, but is that a horrible thing to say? Be kind to people or they're not going to receive your message.
Only on Twitter. Well,
yeah, of course not. But the idea is, if you believe that if more people wear masks, that we'll all be safer, then if you're doing something that's not going to get that message across, then it would sound like to me you're not on the side of trying to make things safer, which that would be go against the point you're trying to make. Does that make sense?
Fair enough. But my point is that all I was making no argument regarding the science. I was only saying, hey, listen, let's be kind to each other. Nobody's going to hear this. No, whoever you're talking to, they're not going to hear it. This guy comes in that I've never met before. Apparently he's a big Ravens fan and says, when do we stop babying people on here? And of course I'm like, well, I don't know if you're new to Twitter, but nobody's getting babied. It's just not happening.
It's a very
vile place. It's the most toxic, angry, mean-spirited. I mean, God, good God, I can't think of any. It's got to be the nastiest of all the social media platforms. I don't even think it's close. And also, since you can only use so many characters, it's even difficult to make your point. So a lot of them, they get truncated into insults and so forth. It's just a nasty place. So, of course, I said, well, that's clearly not the case, you know. And he goes, well, if somebody doesn't believe something that's a scientific fact, doesn't that by definition make them an idiot? I go, okay, well, listen, I'm not trying to make an argument that I'm making no argument regarding the science, right? Is it more important for you to make sure those people know they're stupid, or is it more important for this message to be able to be received by those people? What's more important? This guy then goes, let me tell you something. When I was growing up, I used to be vilified for being black, and they told me I couldn't be class president, and I didn't belong anywhere, and the blacks didn't accept me, and the whites didn't accept me. What the fuck? Where is this coming? Right. I don't even know what it is. Right?
Right.
So of course I read that and I go, okay. Wow. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Right. Next thing you know, he comes back and he doubles down this, that, and the other, coming from this black perspective and this, that, and the other. You'd be in my corner if you knew what I went through. Think about that.
So what does this have to do with this conversation started with?
It's the craziest thing that I was ever part of. Now, so I said, this is insane. I go, the idea is that if I question you after what you've been through, then I'm a bigot. I have to either agree with you or I'm a bigot. Is that right? Because you've been through tribulations, whatever you say, I have to accept because I didn't go through that and because I come from a place of privilege, I can't have an opinion on something that doesn't have anything to do with race. And if I do, then I'm dead serious. Now, No one came to my defense. Nobody. Everybody was either okay with it, right? Like, or agreed with it, or at the very least complicit, like, okay, I'm not touching this with a 10-foot pole. And that's when I said, you know what? I'm done here. I can't be party to this anymore. I can't be a part of it. It's too toxic a place for me because it frustrates me. But by the way, you know, sometimes I've talked to JL Covan before. I go, listen, you know, you don't have a voice if somebody can just label you something that if you are that, then no matter what you say carries no weight, right? Who would listen to a bigot? Follow what I'm saying?
And he would
often say that's not happening. Well, that's over. It's happening. And I sent you a round table of black leaders on Brett Weinstein's show. I sent that to you where everybody was saying the same thing, that this is the world that we live in now. So we have to shut you up and we're not going to really dialogue because we don't have to, because look at what a horrible person you are. And here's me just saying, think about what my argument was. My argument was be kind to people. And because
that was not received well. Yeah,
it's crazy. Anyways,
the mask thing is crazy. People have overvalued the importance of this mask thing as if it's the game changer in all of this. When, yeah, look, I'm definitely wearing a mask when I'm going wherever I have to wear a mask. But I think we're fooling ourselves if we think that this thing hangs in the balance because of, you know, 1% of the people that are going out not wearing masks.
Well, I don't even know. And guess what? Every single time, I know that they find videos of these people who are, you know, flipping tables over and shit like that because they're upset that they have to wear a mask. But look, these are people on the fringe. I every time I'm in a grocery store, every single person has a mask on and is standing 6 feet apart. I don't see people fighting this. I don't see that happening. But that's not the point that I'm making. The point is that really, my opinion, coming from a white male perspective, had no validity because the person that was on the opposition came from an oppressed place. And so because I'm coming from a place of privilege, I needed to keep my mouth shut. And if I disagreed, then that meant that I was a bigot. And that was enough for me. And that made me say, all right, I'm not going to be on here anymore. I saw this coming, but now it's just blatant. Now people are literally saying what I've been the most afraid of. And that is keep your mouth shut. If you don't agree with me, if you are a white male, keep your mouth shut. And so that's it. I'm not going to participate in that anymore.
Well, my issue always with that is if you believe my opinion is wrong, then if someone that looked like you made that same opinion, how would you tell them they're wrong? Well, why don't you try giving me those reasons first?
Yeah, and I wasn't really and I didn't get too angry if you saw you saw it. I just said, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. Again, I'm not in a great place anyway. I don't feel great. I've been cooped inside for 4 months. All the things that brought me meaning and joy, they're taken from me other than my wife and my dog, right? And so, you know, I mean, I'm just like, anything that's has this, creating this fog during this time, let me get rid of it right now. And then once the world opens back up, then maybe I'll go back on and try to fight the good fight again, but not anytime soon.
I think you're doing the right thing. I keep trying to, you know, it's a double-edged sword because I am trying to get information on this ever-changing COVID stuff.
Which you can still look at.
Twitter is the best place.
You're right, but also it's also a place for the missed look. I mean,
no, I get it.
Yeah,
get
it. It's
you know, you really need to. You would have enjoyed the show that I had Thursday night. It was Dr. Gil thing because, you know, one of the things that is fun about comedy is when you and just hanging out with the other comics. And then when somebody comes over and there's some weird moment, you can kind of share and it's weirdness. So there was this one table up front that me and the feature, the guy with the same first name, my last name, Meher.
Right.
A very funny guy.
He's in chat, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Awesome. We kind of were just having a little fun with this one table. So after the show, this girl comes up to us that was at this table. And she looks like she's in her 20s, late 20s, maybe even mid-20s. And she said, yeah, I didn't tell you that was my girlfriend because I didn't want that to become a thing or whatever. And, And then she goes, yeah, I started doing comedy. Of course, it's a bad time to start doing comedy, but you know, I just, it's got to be better than being a lawyer. I'm quitting that. So I'm like, you quit being a lawyer or you got fired? And jokingly, she goes, no, I just, you know, they won't, I want to do comedy. And I said, well, what kind of law did you practice? She goes, oh, whichever kind would pay me. So I'm like, okay, I don't really care about this, but I know that that's not an answer that makes sense.
No, right. Sounds like bullshit, right?
Right. So I'm like, okay, but like, what kind of law did you do though? Because I just, you know, whoever would pay me the most money. I said, okay, well, what was your passion to get into law school? I just, you know, wanted to make a good living. And so eventually she just moves on and she leaves. And then Meher looks at me, he's like, that was weird about the law thing. How does she not know what kind of law she practices? There's like 1,000 different kinds, right?
Sounds like she's lying is what it sounds like.
She could be a lawyer. She's like 25. She doesn't know what kind of law she practices. Is she a paralegal? Why would she bring up being a lawyer if it was a lie? It's not like we forced her into that lie. She just offered it up. It was very weird.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I mean.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it does sound like bullshit, but it also, you're like, well, first of all, how do you start comedy right now? You can't. You can't.
Right.
You can't.
Everything about it was weird.
So that's not true.
I know you're not hitting on it. She just said she had a girlfriend. So it's not like it was just, why are you? None of the conversation made sense.
Well, you can't start comedy right now because the only place to start comedy is an open mic. You know, nobody starts working, right? You start.
Right.
They're not happening right now. Are there open mics right now?
Few and far between.
I haven't heard of any. Maybe she knows of some, but that didn't happen. And the other thing is, so she quit being a lawyer, and of course she doesn't know what she practices, in order to start a career that she can't possibly start right now. You're right. She's completely lying.
And in order to get a law degree, I would imagine at some point you have to focus your law that you're going to do, correct?
I don't know. But
I mean, it's like a doctor. You don't, like...
You'd have a better answer.
Out and say, you know, I'll
right.
be a pediatrician.
You'd
have
a,
to have taken classes, right?
You'd have a better answer than that, right? She would say, oh, yeah. I just passed the bar. I was going to specialize in family law, but instead I'm doing this, or I haven't found a job yet, or I'm, you know, the idea that you quit being a lawyer, you don't know what law you practiced, and now you're a stand-up comic where there's no place for you to be heard. it's dumb.
All right. Well, good luck to your comedy or lawyer career. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. Rob and Jovich.
Love is in the air. Or is it murder? Die Laughing Productions is back and ready to have some fun at the expense of TV's premier dating reality show, The Bachelor. We proudly present The Final Rose. Contestants vie for the heart of our beautiful bachelorette, but love truly is a battlefield. Before someone can find love and accept the final rose, some unlucky person will take their final breath. The Final Rose stars all of your incredibly lovable Die Laughing Productions performers and, as always, you, the audience. We have roles available for willing volunteers, and everyone will get a chance to solve our most shocking murder ever.
Saturday, September 5th at Magoobie's Joke House in Timonium. For tickets and more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
I actually have an idea that I was going to text Robbie and Eric and the whole gang, everybody but you and Katie, about August, an idea for something for your home.
Gotcha. I don't want to find a turd, you know, an upper decker or anything.
Well, I mean, it's me here.
Yeah. The debris from the fireworks were falling on us like a nuclear holocaust.
Really? It was like a nuclear holocaust?
It was what I would imagine one would be like.
It started innocent on a message board.
Trying to get their car detailed. Robbie the troll came swooping in.
3 years later, it was a rainy night in August. Two men were dead. One child left behind.
Yeah, fatherless.
And no car was detailed.
I remember I hear the vacuum running, and finally the vacuum goes off, and I go, oh, cool.
Thank God.
Next thing you know, she started it back up, right? I'm like, man.
Missed the spot.
Robbie's trolling me.
Trolling
on
you.
As me.
Okay.
He trolls me as me.
Explain.
Okay, well, here's what he does. It makes me nuts, okay?
I do declare that my client is innocent
of all charges.
He will be adjudicated. This scoundrel.
Frank goes, you haven't shut up since you got here. Okay. So, look, Robbie's got to be right. Look, he found a picture of something that says telescope pictures. Robbie found that. When they walk down the beach, it says scopes.
Oh, Robbie, you're the best.
He goes, up. Oh, I guess everybody's done talking now. Joe's here.
I know he didn't invite you to the wedding.
Do you remember what his reason was for not inviting me?
You wanted to wear shorts.
And socks. He then texts me and says, are you all right, son? Okay, this is at 5:53.
He also had his computer hacked and the masturbation drama.
Yes. Listen, everything that you're saying is reasonable.
So he dies today.
Yes.
Because of COVID?
Well, I want to know why that matters.
Because she's going to be quarantining for a couple of weeks.
Well, oh, no, that's not why.
you think it's going to be within 2 weeks?
I don't know how many people that you know and are friends with that I would be interested in.
Black Phil?
Yeah, what about Black Phil? I'm not very happy about discussing Joe dying.
Well, he's not dying.
My father is saying it never happened. You think about quitting every week?
Pretty much.
I think it needed a little more Joe Robinson.
You know, I was noticing you're doing some voices in there, which is rare.
Yeah, we've been having some good shows, it sounds like, Joe.
Oh, it reminded me of there's a couple mentions of the housekeeper. You know, the housekeeper came back.
And now the first time she came refers her maiden voyage, pardon the pun, 10 hours, correct?
10 hours and 5 minutes. Okay. She got there at 10. She left at 8:05. And so I talked about that on 98 Rock. Okay. I talked about her being there for 10 hours, but I wanted to be careful because I was worried that she'd hear it because I think Katie told her that I was on 98 Rock and I was worried she'd listen. She would hear that and then be embarrassed. And, you know, I don't want to face her if she actually knew that I was commenting on how long she was there. Right.
Right.
But when I saw her, when I talked about 90 Rock, somebody texted in and said, hey, give her my information. I'd like to have her help, you know, clean my house. Because who wouldn't, right? 10 hours for $100. Yeah. So anyway, so I gave her that contact. I said, hey, this person, I talked about, you know, you being here on the air, but she goes, oh, I didn't get a chance to listen. So I was like, oh, good, right? But then when I was on the morning show, on Friday, I talked about it again. Now, we talked about it at 5:30 a.m., so I was like, all right, no big deal. I don't have to worry about her listening at 5:30. But then they played it on Behind the Curtain. So it was played again on Saturday. So I'm really playing with fire here. But she came back on, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday of last week, and cleaned out Katie's car 3 hours. 3 hours to detail the car.
Okay, so she hasn't done the house again since.
No, obviously. No, she hasn't done the house again.
Because I was thinking maybe it's like, you know, the first time she does a real thorough, like maybe the first time you make love to a woman, you give your longest, most thorough job you can, and then after that you go back to your normal, efficient self.
I don't know, because I think about that. So, excuse me. So let's say, for example, the next time she takes 6 hours. Well, then I'm going to know I only got 60% of the effort.
Are you? Or are you happy she's done in 6 hours?
I guess it depends on how clean the house is, right? I mean, now she spoiled me. I know how clean she makes the house. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, she was spraying like vinegar on the hardwoods in like little 1 foot areas and then cleaning that little area and then going to the next. Like, now, she's real thorough.
But since that happened, you got sick.
I didn't think about that. Huh. You're right. You think you think it was her?
Maybe she's some sort of COVID serial killer.
No, because she did come back. I don't know. And by the way, who knows if I actually have it? Sorry about that. That's my phone.
Well, don't say that on 98 Rock, because apparently they'll play it 8 times. That your maid is spreading COVID to her clients.
Yeah, no, I definitely will not say that.
Well, I'm supposed to be at your house all next week. Well, not living there, but doing the morning show on 90 Rock. And then obviously doing our show. We're get a guest host, which I'm trying to get Eric Woodworth, but he has not returned my text today. Is your maid coming at all, supposedly, next week?
There's no plan on her coming, no.
Okay, I was going to have her guest host the show.
It's a good idea, right? She'll be, if she were cleaning the house, she definitely would be here at that time, 100%. But then...
What I would like to have happen, though, I would like to get Eric Woodworth, and I'd like to get Gramps to come over next Monday night and be on the show. And also, we have a role, a part for Gramps in our next, an audio part in our next murder mystery, our brand new murder mystery, The Final Rose, which debuts, hopefully, knock on wood, September 5th at Magoobie's Joke House, that we can get him to record his part for us live on the show.
Two lines.
Now, you've worked with Gramps before. Is he one take Gramps, or is two lines going to take 20 attempts?
Robbie?
It really is not necessarily about his delivery. It's just about being clear and enunciating. So I usually like to get a couple takes, but he can pretty much nail it the first time.
Well, I like the idea of myself, Eric, and the chat giving him feedback.
Yes.
Is he going to have copy ahead of time in order to peruse
no.
it?
No.
He's not going to like that.
The lines are so simple that we can literally tell him to repeat this line.
Is Gramps in chat? Is he responding to this breaking news?
He's saying LOL.
He's excited about Boom PA saying Robin Gramps show. But I believe it's not going to be the Robin Gramps show. If I'm not mistaken, it's going to be the idea of it is that it's going to be the Robin Eric show, and Gramps is going to be there for a segment or two.
Correction. It's going to be the Robin Joe show featuring
Eric
Woodworth and Gramps.
Got it. Okay.
Would Gramps be willing to take a picture topless with a topless Eric Woodworth in your bed?
Knowing my dad, he wouldn't.
I think, knowing Eric, he 100% would.
Well, no, of course Eric would. Yes. That's...
Eric can talk him into it.
Yeah, that's not the kind of humor that my dad participates in. Okay.
I don't want to go down a road that scares Gramps off from coming next week. So no hijinks.
You're not going to scare my dad from coming. That's for sure.
Sexy voice of a 48-year-old man.
You are 100% not going to scare Gramps from being on the show. That doesn't mean Gramps is very, I guess, is homophobic the right way to say it? He doesn't like to.
He's old school.
He's very Restivo like in his. Yeah. See, I mean, you're even getting a new.
I wouldn't go
Gramps.
That far.
He's very Restivo like in his homophobia.
Restivo, by the way, has lobbied several times for him to be the one that replaces you next week. I have told him no every time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Katie, it's all fun and games, but if he ends up at this house, I'm telling you, that's... You remember in The Godfather when he goes, hey, I have another son, and if anything should happen to him, that I do not forgive. That's basically where we are. If somehow Restivo makes it into this house, I'm telling you, there'll be... It could end some friendships.
Okay. I don't plan on making that happen. But Eric, he's his own man. I can't control him. Receivo could be in his trunk this whole time. We have no idea.
True.
Our friend Danny Ruggie, from 106.7 The Fan, and a comedian buddy of ours, huge baseball fan, was part of the Nats parade when they won this past October, November. He did it on Instagram today, the unboxing of – they gave him a World Series ring.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't have all the bling that the players and management and coaches got, but it's pretty nice looking.
Did he complain?
No, he is overjoyed.
Of course. Robbie's being sarcastic.
Yeah,
but
he bitched about it.
So, but Danny isn't even – he's not part of the broadcast, or I guess he does. Does he do a pregame or a postgame? Like, what is he to the – I know they're the flagship, but what is he other than a sports guy on the flagship?
He's an enthusiastic booster.
And he says this in his Instagram. He is as D.C. as it comes. Went to kindergarten through college in D.C. Played baseball in D.C., George Washington, I believe. Pretty good player. You know, not quite major league level. But, top 1% of all people that
sure, knows the
play
game.
Baseball.
Yeah.
And I think Mike Rizzo, the GM, they have a regular segment with him. I know he's had some live appearances with Sean Doolittle, the closer. And he's, I believe, been the MC of Ryan Zimmerman, the longest tenured Nat his whole career, of his charity event that he has every year. So, and he was in the parade. So clearly the organization is a big fan of Danny.
Yeah,
but also, I think the Chad Dukes, the Sports Junkies, everyone, all the station personalities got one, from what I can tell.
Huh. Well, no, I'm thrilled for him. I was trying to think of, like, my own situation, right?
Well, I mean, it's similar in the fact that you are – there's a lot of similarities, actually. You're on the flagship channel.
Yeah.
The Ravens, like the Nats, have been a good and knocking on the door the last few years.
They're the best team in football in the regular season last year.
Build up to breaking through.
Yeah.
The Ravens have won Super Bowl before, like the Nats. But the last few years, they've been competitive, but ultimately let you down in the playoffs, like the Nats had. So maybe if they win, they'll feel that you were had some small part in just getting the positive mojo to win this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's different for Danny because a lot of the players on the team know Danny, and some of them are friends of his. Like, for example, I know he was at Ryan Zimmerman's wedding, as an example. Well,
okay, I knew he did the emceeing as a charity thing, but at his wedding, at his wedding, really? I thought he's been married for a while. But
maybe I'm wrong about that. I could have sworn that was the case. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, the important question is here. So, in this scenario, Joe's getting a Super Bowl ring, I presume. Are you going to wear it?
Well, first of all, I would 1,000% wear a Super Bowl ring if I had one. That is a fucking fact. I would wear it wherever I went. Yes, but I don't – look, I'm trying to think if there's any current Ravens that know who I am.
Yeah, because your best friend on the team got traded to Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, and he definitely knows me. But other than that, I don't think anybody – now, I mean, all the – Dennis Pitta, Jared Johnson, those guys all know me, but they're not on the team. I wonder if the coach even knows who I am. He probably doesn't.
I met the coach when he first got hired. I was on the morning show back with Mickey and Amelia back in the day.
Fuck you bitches in the NFL.
I also met him when I was doing nights. They brought him in, and nice. He was very, very friendly to me. He probably thought I was somebody, but meanwhile, he's probably just a nice guy. But, I'm pretty sure. I'm trying to think of who even has a shot at knowing who I am. I did those Zoom calls.
Justin Tucker.
Justin Tucker's probably the best shot that I have because I did that Zoom call with him.
And he's a morning show fan.
He's a fan of the morning show, and I've done interviews with him on, from the castle before. But I'd put that at below 50%. That he knows my name? Yeah, I don't think he does.
Well, there's also, in this, there could have been a parallel to this back when the Ravens first, started. Because, there was, 106.7, the fan, it's the radio station Danny works for, has, probably been helpful in helping get baseball to D.C. and growing the team for the fans, where the Ravens have already done through that period. So maybe when the Ravens won their first Super Bowl, maybe that was the time that people in your position might have gotten a ring. But they didn't, like, when they won it, six, seven years ago, nobody got a ring, right? I've never seen Mickey Coachella. By the way, if Mickey had a ring, he'd have pawned that thing.
Yeah, in chat, Benchwarmer says, will the Joe Haydenhurst bromance survive Joe leaving Twitter? I will say this. When I wrote why I was leaving Twitter, Haydenhurst gave it a like. So,
wow, that's cool.
He definitely noticed that I wasn't on there anymore. You know, it's weird because he likes some, every once in a while puts something political and it's never too to the right or to the left. But a lot of times I made a comment about communism the other day and he liked it. Mm-hmm. So I think he's kind of a right leaner, Haydenhurst.
It wasn't a pro comment about communism.
It was go communism. No.
That's the name of the episode.
That'll be a drop. So what do you think the odds are if the Ravens win a Super Bowl with you and your current role of you getting a Super Bowl ring?
I mean, it's less than 1%, right? I mean, they didn't give any out the last time. I mean, Keith Mills didn't get a Super Bowl ring, did he? I'm pretty sure he didn't. I'd see him wearing it. I mean, Keith Mills didn't get it. Jerry Sandusky, did he get a Super Bowl ring? I don't know.
Is this a rare thing that the Nats did, or is this more common than we know?
I don't know.
I'm curious about this.
I also think there's a lot more rings given out with football, right? The rosters are a lot bigger. The coaching staffs are a lot bigger. So maybe there's more rings.
Big difference.
Yeah. But still, I mean, how much do you think one of those rings cost? Do they cost $10,000?
I mean, I don't know about that, but it does have his name on it. So there is to take the time. They couldn't just, you know, say, hey, just make 30 extra. I mean, it did take some planning and some thought to make sure everyone got there.
Well, those rings, the rings that the players wear, they cost way more than $10,000.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
But you're saying they probably got a different ring.
Yeah, they got a different ring with less diamonds and stuff on it. But it's got a lot of the same. It looks very similar. It's just not as fancy. But it's still I guarantee it's the nicest piece of jewelry Danny Rullier owns.
Yeah, and is Danny wearing it?
I haven't seen him walking around with it. He just got it today, and he was just showing it off for the camera. You wouldn't feel weird about wearing it? Like a little embarrassed?
No. No, I would not.
So hey. When someone says, dude, you got a Super Bowl ring on, how do you explain it?
I'd say, yeah, I was part of the broadcast.
Okay. You don't try to claim that you're on the team.
I'm a linebacker.
Say, you're the long snapper. They'll never know.
Yeah, they'll know.
In chat, Benchwarmer thinks that Jerry did get a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
And friendly newcomer, we don't know who that is, said NFL cheerleaders get rings.
They do? I don't know that I agree with that. Hold on, let me.
Well, cheerleaders don't make a lot of money, so that seems like a nice thing to do because they kind of get a raw deal.
And they get little rings, I bet. They look like engagement rings.
Leaders only get Super Bowl rings. Here we go. Do NFL cheerleaders get Super Bowl rings? Here's what it says. Cheerleaders for the National Football League will occasionally get Super Bowl rings depending on the policy of the team owners. In some cases, they might get bigger and better jewelry than the players, like a giant pendant. Whatever.
Now, do you think whichever team wins the World Series this year in this shortened season, knock on wood that it actually finishes, do you think the owner goes cheap on the ring?
Oh, because it's only 60 games? 30 yeah. Home games? Huh. I didn't think about that. You know, I was thinking about that because the 16 teams make the playoffs, correct?
Yeah, they just decided that the day before the season. So over half of the 30 teams.
So really the line to make the playoffs is if you win as many games as you lose, those teams, anybody over that or at that, would probably make the playoffs. I mean, that's yeah. where we're going to be. Well, I mean, what if you're the Orioles, which are they? If there was 162 game season, they're horrible, right? But they've already won two games, two out of three. The season is now 5% over. You know what I'm saying? You just got to try to. You can maybe sneak some wins here and there, make the playoffs, and then at that point, anybody can win, right?
Yeah. What if you were a team as bad as the first round? It's supposed to be best out of three.
Yeah, if you have a pitcher.
I mean, baseball of all the sports. You know, in football, if the friggin' Ravens or the Chiefs, you know, play the Bengals, they're probably going to win 9 out of 10 times, going by last year's team. But, you know, if the Dodgers play the Orioles, they're not going to win 5 in a row. I mean, they'll lose one or two.
Yeah, 100%.
It's because of the nature of the game.
Yeah, really, you only have to try to win three games. But anyway, look, yeah. I'm not acting like the Orioles are going to win the World Series.
No, the ring would not be, will there be a parade? Obviously, you probably could, if there's no fans in the stands, then there would be no parade.
Well, the point that I was trying to make is that the Orioles have literally no shot at winning a World Series except for this year. It's the only time they have any shot. So, no, I think they're like, God, we thought in my lifetime I wouldn't get a World Series victory. If I somehow stole one because they only played 30 home games and 30 away games. And by the way, who even knows if that's going to happen since the Marlins had to cancel the game because they had a COVID outbreak. But if they were able to do that, you think, hey, let's spend some money because when is this going to happen again? We're not only are we the worst franchise in Major League Baseball, but also we're in the same division as the Yankees and the Red Sox, who are, you know, two of the top four money-spending teams. So, yeah, if somehow the Orioles were able to win the World Series this year, I definitely think they should splurge.
See, I see that the owners are going to make less money this year than they've ever made in their entire history of owning their team. So, therefore, the ring will reflect that.
Maybe.
Let's not take a break. Wrap this up, Rob and Joe Show.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour. Foreplay. I know, I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy, he's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse and then six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know what he's doing. Left to right, right to left. It's fucking, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy, he's just giving up on life. He stopped trying. It's like, I mean, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape, seltzer water with one calorie? That if I drink 17, I can still drive legally? Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They are good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
The Rob and Joe Show.
I was going to say before we left that, you know, Peter Angelos, I mean, would he be cheap at this point? Because Peter Angelos is now 91 years old. Okay? I mean, how much longer is he going to be on this planet?
And he's worth $1 billion.
Yeah, he's worth $2.1 billion. And that was back in 2017. Now, even if he lost a few of those bucks, you know, I mean, maybe his kids would be upset if he spent it on rings, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I think they probably would just let the old man do what he wants at this point.
Hey, you know what
if he doesn't die of COVID, he's never going to die now. I mean, Joe, this is it. This
hey, you know what his profession is? Lawyer, just like that girl you met.
It's almost sad to say this, but I feel like I like the Taylor Swift album a lot more than Katie Robinson does. Your wife, Katie Robinson, the biggest Taylor Swift fan I know, does not like her new album, and I actually think it's pretty good.
It's all ballads. I mean, well, I need it. Give
I
me
like
a sh-
ballads. I like sad songs.
I so don't mind them.
Like that's a negative. You say that as someone who's seen the Eagles like four times.
No, I understand that, but at least they're going to play Life in the Fast Lane. You know, I get to hear Life's Been Good, right? There are some songs already gone. They're going to play some up-tempo songs. To just listen to all ballads? God, I can't even imagine.
Well, I wouldn't
imagine.
Want to see that as a live show. Obviously not.
Look, I throw in a banger, please. Just one. You know, I'm not Robbie. I don't want to go see Air Supply. I need...
Rude.
I need a... Give me a couple Shake It Offs, right?
Oh, no. I would... No, the album would be better served with some of those. But for writing an album during this pandemic...
Yeah, you figure this is what it would be like. Depressing as
yes,
fuck.
Yes. It seems to be more reading the room correctly.
Hey, no, wrong. I need something different than what she... Maybe you didn't hear, right? Yeah, I need. There are people like me that are in much worse mental states. You know, they don't want to be listening to the. They're all excited. They're Taylor Swift fans. Like, finally, something to get me out of this funk. And then there you go.
You've won me over. Then, hey, I have a dilemma with Tawanda.
Hmm.
Well, we bought this golf game on PlayStation about a month or so ago, and it's consumed our lives. And she has played PlayStation golf in the past, so she has, obviously this is a much newer game and different, but she has some history in playing video game golf, and probably more than I do. So in the beginning, I would say off the bat I was a little bit better, and then we'd go back and forth, and then she got on a little run where she won about 3-4 in a row. I would say that probably the first 30 times we played, it was like 17-13
right.
Or something. But very competitive. Right. And in the past week or so, I have just gone on a tear. In my putting, I'm in the zone. And it's funny. It's kind of like real golf. You start reading things. You start trusting your judgment. And you get into the zone. And she's the opposite, where she's not trusting her putts. And she's missed the reading things. And the speed isn't accurate. And I've been on a tear basically won every time. And a lot of those times by several, we play match game where if you win the hole, you're up.
Got it.
So I'm winning, you know, 3, 4, 5 holes to go. It's over with. So convincingly. So, but the question is, do I take my foot off the gas a little bit to just even this thing out some more?
Here's something pretty interesting. So there was a study with rats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where rats love to wrestle. And if the bigger rat beats the, if, I'm sorry, if the bigger rat doesn't let the smaller rat win in the wrestling match, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's like 30% of the time, the smaller rat won't play with it anymore.
Huh.
That's an actual study. Check it out.
Hey, Tawanda.
So, you know, what are we? Just evolved from rats, I assume. We crawled up out of the water and now here we are. So
yeah, that's how it goes.
So if you don't start letting her win, she's going to stop playing with you.
So my fear is, if I lose my putting stroke a little bit, it's not that easy to get back, Joe. You know, it's like muscle memory now. And
I see what you're saying.
Get off my game. It's not necessarily just there to just grab and get right back. I could put myself in a real down, you know, spiral here where I could legitimately be losing.
Could you maybe change your drive or your short game? Could you change that up? Maybe go a club or two down so your drives aren't as long, or is there anything that you can do in that regard?
Well, the thing is, she actually drives it a little bit longer than I do. I'm more straight, but she's a little more reckless, which tends to, when she hits it right, it goes longer, but she's also more prone to
slice,
you know, going right or left. But its advantage really is on the putting green. That's where, you know, the putt that she'll make, you know, 3 out of 5 times, you know, I'm making, you know, 4 out of 5 times. So, and that just adds up, you know.
Yeah,
that
no, I'm with
3,
you.
4 times around, that's it.
Well, what I'm saying is your argument was that if you purposely miss your putts, you might not be able to get yourself back in that groove. So what I was saying is maybe there's other aspects of the game where you can take your foot off the gas and not your putting. And you're saying no.
I see what you're saying. You're saying I should maybe be a little more conservative when I'm aiming for the green, knowing that it's probably going to leave me with a longer putt.
Uncle Pat Push in chat, probably not Uncle Pat Push, but somebody in chat named Uncle Pat Push says Rob's golf game is clearly more important than his relationship.
I don't necessarily disagree with that.
Well, you're not willing to risk losing any of your ability to read the putting greens. You're not willing to do that in order to make her feel like she can win more often.
Well, I've taken in recent weeks, I've taken great pride in my ability to putt. I mean, I've gotten a lot better at it.
Is she mad?
She's not mad. She's mad that I keep making all these putts. She's like, look, there's no way you're going to make that, and now you make it, and it's pissing me off. So she's getting frustrated.
The chat's on you, Rob.
Yeah, let me tell you this. So I used to live with my friend Vegas back. Mm-hmm. This is back in the early 90s. And there was a movie out called Searching for Bobby Fischer that we loved, right?
Yeah.
So Vegas and I started playing chess against one another. And when we first started playing, I was way better than him. And I would just run over him.
Yeah.
And then it started getting to the point where he was getting a little bit, and then he got better than me. He probably beat me 3 games in a row and I never played him again.
That reminds me of Gramps and the Badman.
Yeah, that's the same thing. When I was a little kid, my father used to pummel me in badminton. Then I got really good, and he would just stop playing me.
Now, what would you do if this was you and Katie, Joe? Because I feel like Katie's pretty competitive.
God, I can't imagine being better than her at anything like that. So it's hard for me to wrap my head around. I'm trying to think. I assume that we're both really competitive, that I would also try to, I don't know. No, I probably would throw the game.
See, I feel like, and I've told her this, that she sits down and plays, I stand up. I'm right in front of the TV. And I position my thumb in a different way, and she uses 2 fingers to move the thing. But I think that just my form lends itself to it's easier to do.
And she's not willing to.
She's committed to this one way of doing it. So in order to break that, you'd have to start doing it my way, which you'd obviously get worse in the short term. But I don't know if she's willing to commit to that long change of technique. So maybe you're right, Joe. I'll just go a little, more to the right of the hole and less right at it, and leave myself longer putts, and then once it gets really close, then go for it.
Will she know? Will she notice that?
Well, she might notice it, but she might also enjoy the fact that the tide has turned and lie to herself because she wants to experience that again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so she might just be in a little bit of a denial, just whatever. I like to win, so whatever, right. However it's happening, I'll take it.
But I have stopped the trash talking because there was a lot of that. I was over the top with the trash talking.
And it wasn't being received well?
Well, I have a lot of go-tos that I used to say. Like when I got a birdie, Robbie, I think I told this to Joe at his house, but I would say, I'm in the birdie business, and business is good. When I get an eagle, I say, I do like Superman. I go, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's eagle. It's very, very.
Well, that
dangerous.
Doesn't make any sense because a bird is, an eagle is a bird. Who would say it's a bird, it's a plane, it's still another bird? It's another type of bird.
are you shitting on it?
Yeah.
I'll start doing it again, Joe.
It's a bird, it's a plane, it's a bird.
Like an eagle, which makes sense.
Hey, it's a bird, it's a plane. Oh, wait a minute. It is a bird, it's an eagle. It's
fine.
The first thing I said.
I'll come up with something different.
It's the first thing, the bird. Remember when I said it was a bird or a plane? I don't know why I mistook it for a plane because it's clearly a bird. It's an eagle.
That's what I'll say. That's my new trash talk. She's downstairs. She could be listening to this, at which point she'll just kill me and it'll be a moot point.
Well, the good thing is that now, if you lose to her, you can insinuate that you're throwing it. You really never can lose again.
Which I'll clearly do. All right. Well, next week I'll keep everybody posted on that. Hopefully, can we are we able to call you? You think and interrupt your trip next week, Joe?
Yeah, sure. On Monday night.
Yeah. Will that be your? When do you leave? Supposedly that day, or you leave
Saturday morning? I'm leaving.
Okay, so you'll have a couple of days in there of stories to tell.
Yeah, no doubt. Katie and I are going to go on. We're driving down there, so there'll be stories. Yeah.
Are you you're taking her car or you're renting something?
We're taking her car and we're taking Oski Boy.
Oh, of course you are. All right. Hey, September 5th, McGoobie's Joke House. That's the next murder mystery. Also, September 4th, McGoobie's Justin Schlegel headlining. So let's keep comedy alive.
Yeah, seriously. Come out and support us. We haven't done a murder mystery. Was it February?
I'm trying to think back and it's... Was it Valentine's Day? Was that the last one?
It might be, but listen, I worry about the clubs. I worry about the art. So please, if you were ever on the fence about going to a show, let's fill this thing up. It's not going to seat what it normally seats, 330 or whatever, but however many it seats, if we could fill all those seats, it'd be greatly appreciated. And you're going to get a great show because I'm sure everybody's like me and you and that, you know, we're itching to go.
Absolutely. And the place, everything's separated the tables, social distancing, there's masks, they've taken all the precautions. It's very clean, very well done, very safe environment. So come on out, September 4th and 5th. All right, good stuff.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.